Have you ever been in a meeting, maybe, or just, scrolling online and you hear a word so often it just loses all meaning, like corporate static noise? You hear it, but it doesn't really connect. I know I have. And for me, one of the biggest ones, like the absolute champion of that kind of fog, has always been transformation. It's everywhere. But what's actually being transformed? So today we're going to cut through that with a really fascinating story from Rob Van Linde. He shared this just yesterday, August 26th, 2025. And it's a personal story, but it's also a fantastic example of what real transformation can look like, especially when it gets help from a pretty unexpected place. AI. So, our mission for this deep dive, we're going to unpack Rob's whole experience, look at how he challenged that kind of fuzzy thinking. And we'll explore how AI was used in a really practical, really human-centered way. It might surprise you. We want to see how he turned that vague corporate talk into something real, something actionable, and maybe inspire you to, question the buzzwords in your own world too.
Oh, absolutely. Buzzwords like transformation. They're tricky, aren't they? Because, like you said, they can hide a total lack of strategy or sometimes something else entirely, a different agenda. It creates this sort of illusion of action. But there's no shared concrete idea of what we're even talking about. And that's exactly why Rob's story is such a great case study. It cuts right through that. And that unexpected ally you mentioned, AI, that's really where the story pivots, I think. We're going to look at how this tool, often seen as, well, cold or just analytical.
Yeah, maybe even a bit scary for some people.
Right. How it was actually used to boost empathy, human understanding, in a really practical way. It kind of flips the usual script on AI.
Okay, so let's dive in. Rob talks about interviewing for an agile coach role, someone who helps teams work better, be more flexible. And right from the start, the big word was transformation. That was the theme. But Rob, well, he didn't just nod along. He started asking these really basic, fair questions like, okay, transform what exactly? What does this transformation look like on the ground? What are we actually trying to achieve? And the answer he kept getting, just transformation. That's it. Circular. Almost maddening, right?
It really is. And it's fascinating how quickly he spotted that disconnect. Because this isn't just a weird interview story. It really points to a huge common issue in organizations, grabbing onto trendy words without anyone really agreeing on what they mean or why they're doing it or what success looks like.
Yeah.
It's easy to fall into that trap. Saying you're transforming makes you feel like you are.
Yeah.
But if you haven't defined the what and the why, it's just talk, empty words.
Performative transformation.
Exactly. And often these vague terms can hide things people don't really want to talk about.
Which brings us to the next bit, unfortunately. Because once Rob got the job, he started digging. And this big transformation, it turned out it wasn't about improving things for customers or empowering the teams at all. It was mostly about rejigging the teams so management could more easily track if everyone was billing exactly 40 hours a week. He nails it, I think. He calls it micromanagement wrapped in fancy language.
Oof.
It's just so easy to disguise cost cutting or like here, just plain old micromanagement with this shiny transformation label, isn't it? Why do you think that word works so well for that kind of deception?
Well, it's because transformation just sounds so positive, right? It implies getting better, innovating, moving forward.
Right. Progress.
Exactly. So when leaders use it, it feels important.
Yeah.
It feels like the future. It makes it harder to argue with. But Rob's point is spot on. Real transformation, true transformation, that has to be about deep positive change, fixing root problems, giving people more autonomy, actually making things better, not just slapping a new name on old controls.
That's stricter controls.
Yeah.
Stricter controls, exactly. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? How often is transformation just a shield,
yeah,
a justification for things that don't really help people grow or solve the real issues? It's a great reminder to always look past the label.
Mm.
Ask, okay, but what's really changing here?
Totally. And Rob, he wasn't just going to sit back and accept this. He saw the problem, the unhappiness. So he did something pretty bold, actually. He decided to just talk to people, one-on-one interviews with his colleagues. His goal was simple. Just understand their side of things. What were their frustrations, their ideas? Just listen. And he connected this back to design thinking, something he'd studied, I think, at Virginia University, the what is phase.
Mm-hmm.
And he said his mission was crystal clear. Build empathy and truly understand the user's perspective. It's so basic, but so powerful putting people first like that.
It really is. And
yeah.
Design thinking as a whole, that's its strength, right?
Yeah.
It forces that human-centered view. It's not just some corporate process to tick off.
Yeah.
It's about putting the actual people, employees, users, whoever, right at the center of the change.
Yeah.
And that what is phase Rob focused on? That's all about listening, watching, trying to understand without judging. Empathy and listening.
Yeah.
They aren't optional extras. They're the foundation, the absolute starting point for any change that's going to stick. You just can't design something meaningful if you don't first get the human reality of it, the pain points, the hopes. It stops leaders just cooking up solutions in isolation.
But like anything truly valuable, it wasn't entirely smooth sailing, this kind of deep human work. It creates practical hurdles. So when Rob told his scrum master, the person kind of facilitating his team's process about the plan, the reaction was, well, maybe predictable, shocked and skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he just blurted out, that's 40 interviews. How are we possibly going to analyze all of that?
I laughed slightly. Yeah, you can just picture it.
You can hear the panic, right? And it highlights that real challenge. What do you do with all that rich, messy human data?
Absolutely. 40 conversations. That's a mountain of qualitative stuff.
Yeah.
Notes, feelings, stories.
Gold, but yeah, a mountain.
And those concerns were completely valid. That analysis part is often the big bottleneck with these human-centered methods. Collecting the insights is one thing, but then sifting through it, finding patterns, making sense of it all without bias, turning it into something you can act on, that takes huge effort manually.
Yeah.
It's slow. You can miss things. By the time you're done analyzing, maybe things have already changed again.
Right. Analysis paralysis.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that difficulty can actually stop organizations from even trying to do this kind of empathy work properly. Or they just do like 5 interviews and call it a day.
Missing the bigger picture.
Totally. But this is where Rob's story takes that really interesting twist. He found a way around that bottleneck.
Okay, so here's the breakthrough. Rob's solution was pretty radical for the time. He looked at this new tech that had just come out, a large language model, ChatGPT.
Wow, right when it first launched.
Yeah, super early days. This was quite forward thinking. And his idea was simple, but kind of genius. He thought, what if I take all the interview results, anonymized, of course, from all 40 people, put them into one big prompt, and just ask ChatGPT to analyze it, find the themes, the patterns, and even suggest ways to improve things.
That's quite a leap of faith with such new technology.
Absolutely. Think about how little people understood about what these things could really do back then.
And the Scrum Master's shock.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the volume anymore, was it? It must have also been about, you know, data privacy,
mm-hmm.
using this new AI thing with employee feedback.
Exactly. Big concerns there. And this is really key, I think, for anyone thinking about using AI like this.
Mm.
Rob had already thought that through. He reassured the Scrum Master. He explained he'd been super careful.
How so?
He'd saved all the notes without any names, just interview 1, interview 2, et cetera, on separate secure pages or files. Total anonymity before the AI ever saw it.
Ah, okay. That's crucial. That's not just ticking a box. It's responsible innovation, right?
Yeah.
Building trust.
Right.
Showing you're thinking ethically.
Totally.
It shows that the human prep work, the careful handling of data, the ethical thinking, that's still absolutely vital, even with powerful AI. You can't just dump raw data into it. He curated it first.
And the result. The payoff for this careful, slightly risky approach, despite all that initial doubt, despite the AI being basically brand new, Rob says it himself, the AI did an excellent job.
Oh, not just okay, but excellent.
Yeah, it actually delivered valuable insights, which is pretty amazing, thinking back to how early that was for ChatGPT.
It really is significant. It showed right then that AI could be a practical tool, not some sci-fi concept, but something to solve a real human problem information overload.
Analysis paralysis, yeah.
Yeah. It proved these tools could speed up understanding in a way that probably felt impossible just months earlier. And the timing makes it even more striking. It shows how even that early AI, when given clear instructions and properly prepared anonymized data, could pull out useful stuff from messy, unstructured information.
Right.
And critically, it wasn't about the AI replacing Rob's empathy or judgment. It was about enabling it, scaling it up.
Scaling it, exactly.
Think about how long it would have taken Rob and the Scrum Master to manually go through 40 interview transcripts, code them, find themes.
Weeks, months.
Easily. The AI likely turned weeks of work into hours, which meant Rob could spend his energy acting on the insights, not just drowning in the analysis. It connects the human intent understanding people with a practical way to actually do it at scale.
So pulling this all together, what are the big takeaways from Rob's experience for, you know, for all of us? He leaves us with some really solid lessons, I think. First, obviously, question the buzzwords. Don't just accept transformation or whatever the latest term is. Ask what, why, how. Demand clarity.
Definitely number one.
Second, that real change, real transformation, it absolutely starts with empathy. Listening. Understanding the human side first. That's straight from design thinking.
Can't skip that step.
Third, AI. It doesn't have to be scary or impersonal. Used carefully, ethically, it can be a massive help in scaling up those human-centered approaches. It amplifies our ability, doesn't replace it.
Amplifies, yes. Yeah. That's the word.
And fourth, the practical bit. Anonymized data plus a really clear question or problem statement. That's a powerful combo for getting quick, useful insights out of complex, messy info. It lets you move from being stuck to taking action.
Those are such critical points for navigating work and life today, really. Mm-hmm. With so much information, so much jargon flying around, I'd really encourage you listening to think about the buzzwords you hear. Are they clear? Or are they maybe hiding something else? And think about how you could use empathy, maybe even with some tech assistance like Rob did, to cut through noise and find what really matters in your own situation.
Yeah.
What Rob's story shows so well is that powerful tech works best when it serves our basic human needs. Understanding each other, connecting, making real improvements. It's about human insight combined with machine capability.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic real-world example. Rob Van Linde's story shows how you get from vague talk to real insight, using empathy and smart tech ethically. It shows what happens when you just refuse to settle for fuzzy answers.
So maybe a final thought to leave you with. Thinking about Rob's journey, what transformations or big initiatives have you seen that maybe felt more like fancy wrapping paper than real change? And looking forward, how could combining that deep empathy with smart tools like AI help you make sense of complex situations and uncover truly valuable insights, whether it's at work or just in your own interests?
Exactly. Take that away with you. Challenge the buzzwords, look deeper, and see how you can drive change that's genuinely meaningful and human-centered wherever you are.